From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Rahma. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting info, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on the frequency 3325 kHz, and website voanews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo reiterates commitment to respecting freedom of expression. Vice President Amin optimistic Idul Fitri exodus boosting regional economies. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian Presidential Staff Office has reiterated President Joko Widodo's commitment to respecting the freedom of speech and expression of residents, including those criticizing development progress. Criticism is legitimate and is protected by law in democratic countries as long as it does not become defamation or hate speech. The office main expert staff, Yohanes Joko, said in a statement released on Saturday that President Joko Widodo made the remarks in response to the alleged intimidation of the family of Bimo Yudo Saputra, a resident from Lampung who criticized the lack of progress in development in his home province via social media by the regional authority and local police. President Joko Widodo will always filter all inputs from all parties to improve the public services provided by the government. The office official added that they will always work with law enforcers in responding to public inputs and criticisms to prevent the recurrence of intimidation and harassment of residents who speak up to criticize the authorities. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin expressed hope that the Idul Fitri exodus this year can bolster the economy in various regions as residents returning to their hometowns during Idul Fitri will spur spending. Vice President Amin remarked that residents returning to their hometown will spend money while celebrating Idul Fitri with their families there, which could help drive economic performance. It is estimated that some 130 million people will embark on the Idul Fitri exodus and there will be movement from urban areas to regions. They will return to their hometown buying food and spend their money there, then the local economy will be bolstered, Amin explained. The vice president commended the residents' enthusiasm to participate in the Idul Fitri exodus after the end of COVID-19-related restrictions, and he also urged residents to make the most of opportunities during the Idul Fitri holiday period. Indonesian Deputy Minister of Religious Affairs Zainul Tauhid Saadi stated that Palestinian students are welcome to continue their education in Indonesian pesantrens or Islamic boarding schools and universities. The commitment was conveyed during the visit of the advisor for the Palestinian President on Religious and Islamic Relation Affairs, Mahmoud Al-Habbasi, to the ministry office. While welcoming the visit of the Palestinian official as well as Palestinian ambassador to Indonesia, Zuhair Al-Shun, he expressed hope that relations between both nations would be enhanced. He also highlighted that the Indonesian constitution mandated the Indonesian government and people to support the Palestinian cause. Meanwhile, Al-Habbasi expressed his gratitude and appreciation to the Indonesian government and people for their wholehearted support and assistance for Palestinian independence. He also expressed hope that the Indonesian government would continue to advocate for the Palestinian cause through diplomacy and the international fora. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The group of seven developed countries or G7 pledged on Sunday to speed up the phase out of fossil fuels and urged other countries to do the same, but did not set any new deadlines on the exit from polluting energy sources such as coal. In a statement following 2 days of talks in Japan, climate and environment ministers from the leading developed nations outlined efforts to keep global warming under the key 1.5 degrees Celsius limit. They vowed to accelerate the phase out of unabated fossil fuels so as to achieve net zero in energy systems by 2050 at the latest, and call on others to join in taking the same action. Japan's Prime Minister Fumio Kishida, a day after he was evacuated from an apparent attack, vowed on Sunday to do everything possible to ensure the safety of the group of seven or G7 leaders and senior ministers visiting his country through next month. Kishida escaped unhurt after a suspect threw what appeared to be a smoke bomb during an election campaign stop at a fishing port in western Japan. The suspect on Saturday's incident, identified by police as 24-year-old Ryuji Kimura, was also carrying a knife when he was arrested, as well as a possible second explosive device he dropped at the scene after bystanders and police tackled him, Kyodo News Agency reported. China launched a weather satellite on Sunday as civilian flights altered their routes to avoid a Chinese-imposed no-fly zone to the north of Taiwan, which Beijing put in place because of the possibility of falling rocket debris. Taiwan's transport ministry said Beijing had initially notified Taipei it would impose a no-fly zone from Sunday to Tuesday, but later said that period had been reduced to 27 minutes on Sunday morning after Taiwan protested. The no-fly announcement rattled regional nerves as it followed shortly after China staged a new war games around Taiwan, which Beijing views as sovereign Chinese territory. Last item, Thai Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha is still lagging behind the main opposition party, latest opinion polls showed, ahead of the Southeast Asian country's general election next month. The May 14th election will be a battle between parties aligned with conservative pro-military establishment and the millionaire Sinawatra family-backed Pheu Thai Party, led by Pai Tong Tan Sinawatra, the 36-year-old daughter and niece of two ex-premiers. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Spotlight of the week is on President Joko Widodo receives visiting members of the U.S. Congress. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received a visit from members of the U.S. Congress last Wednesday, April 12, at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta. During the meeting, the congressional delegates conveyed the commitment of the United States to continue to enhance cooperation with Indonesia in the context of a strategic partnership. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, who also accompanied the president, explained that the Congress delegates saw Indonesia as a very important partner in the region. In addition, the delegates also appreciated Indonesia's success in last year's G20 presidency. They also provide support for Indonesia's chairmanship in ASEAN. Meanwhile, during the meeting, President Joko Widodo conveyed the Indonesian government's strong commitment to climate change and environmental issues. Minister Retno Marsudi said the head of state also conveyed a number of achievements by the Indonesian government regarding the two issues, including the reduction of forest fires by more than 80%. On this occasion, the president also expressed his hope for the support from the United States Congress on a number of issues. Retno Marsudi explained that the support meant included extending the Generalized System of Preferences or GSP facility to market access. According to Retno Marsudi, the president also hopes that Indonesia can become part of the global supply chain in the United States and the world. In addition, President Joko Widodo also submitted a request for support from the U.S. for the energy transition. Prior to meeting with President Joko Widodo, the U.S. Congress delegation had also had meetings with Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi and Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya. They also visited Nusantara, the new capital city, which is being built in East Kalimantan. Apart from that, the U.S. Congress members also observed Borneo Orangutan Survivals, or BOS, in Kalimantan. The U.S. congressmen who visited consists of 2 senators and 3 representatives, accompanied by the U.S. ambassador to Indonesia, Sung Yong Kim, and mission director of USAID, Jeffrey Cohen. That was this week's Spotlight. I'll begin today in history with April 16, 1952, the Kopassus established. The Special Forces Command, or commonly Indonesian as Kopassus, is part of the main command owned by the Indonesian Army. These special forces also have special abilities such as moving quickly in every field, shooting precisely, reconnaissance, and anti-terror. The background of the formation of Kopassus began in July 1950 when a rebellion in Maluku broke out by a group calling itself the Republic of South Maluku. The leadership of the Indonesian Armed Forces responded by deploying troops to crush the group. From this incident, through the Army Commander's instruction on April 16, 1952, the 3rd Territory Command Unit was formed, which was the forerunner of the Red Beret Corps. Turning to April 16, 2007, the Virginia Tech Massacre. The Virginia Tech massacre was a massacre that occurred in two separate shootings by 20-year-old college student Cho Sing-hui on April 16, 2007. These incidents occurred at the Virginia Polytechnic Institute and State University, Blacksburg, Virginia. Confirmed the number of victims killed as many as 32 people, along with the shooter. This incident became the bloodiest civilian shooting in United States history. One of the victims was Indonesian, Partahi Mamora Halomwan Lumbantoruan, 34 years, from Medan, North Sumatra, a doctoral student at the Faculty of Civil Engineering. I'll end today in history with April 16, 2016. The earthquake in Ecuador. On April 16, 2016, an earthquake measuring 7.8 on the magnitude scale shook Ecuador at the 6:58 local time. The epicenter was 27 kilometers south of the city of Musne in Esmeraldas province. Reports say at least 654 people died as a result of the quake. Buildings in the affected areas were reportedly to be badly damaged. Throughout Ecuador's history, this earthquake was the largest since the 1979 Tumaco earthquake and the deadliest since the 7.1 magnitude earthquake in 1987. That was Today in History.
VOI listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent their letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering their letters or emails. First, I would like to reply a letter from Detlef Jerk in Hanstedt, Germany. He was listening to our German programs through 3325 and 4750 kHz at 6 to 6:30 p.m. UTC with the SINPO 43444. In his letter, he said he's interested in the programs. Hello, Mr. Jerk. Thank you for your reception report and also compliment on our broadcast. My friend from the German section will reply to it. Please be patient to wait for the reply. And while waiting for the reply, why don't we enjoy a song presented by Voice of Indonesia? Check this one out.
Biar ku terluka. penuhi janji. Ku pastikan semua berakhir. Oh, kau tahu ku takkan menyerah. Benar ku terbiasa mengalah demi cinta kepadamu. Biar ku selalu di sini masih milikmu.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz and website voinews.id. Today's edition will give information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on Esport Indonesia collaborates with the ICT industry for esport achievements at the SEA Games. The Indonesian Esport Council is collaborating with the information and communication technology or ICT industry players from various fields and specialties to support the National Training Center program towards the highest achievements at the 32nd SEA Games or Southeast Asia Games, Cambodia, 2023. The Council Head of Public Relations and Communication, Ashadi Ang, at a press conference in Jakarta Monday said that the presence of a reliable and qualified industrial and technological infrastructure is one of the key components for the team to achieve optimal performance. Ashadi believes that the development of esport cannot be separated from collaboration with the entire ecosystem and even across industries. The ICT infrastructure can answer complex and multi-aspects industrial challenges from adequate equipment, network technology, cybersecurity, data analytics, to other smart solutions. These are just a few of the opportunities for cooperation that can be explored with the private sector. Meanwhile, the Minister of Youth and Sports, Dito Aryo Tejo, is optimistic that the esport national team can meet the target of becoming the overall champion at the SEA Games in Cambodia. The minister stated this after seeing the Indonesian Esport National Training Center, which was considered ready to provide training programs and other supporting elements ahead of matches at the biggest sporting event in Southeast Asia. The esport national team itself is scheduled to fly to Cambodia on May the 6th, with the competition taking place from May the 8th to 15th. At the SEA Games Cambodia, Indonesia will participate in six numbers of matches, namely Mobile Legends Bang Bang Men and Women teams, PUBG Mobile Team, PUBG Mobile Individual, Crossfire and Valorant. That was My Indonesia Today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we will reply to an email from Freddy in Uruguay. He was listening to our broadcast in Spanish. In his email, he thanked for the transmission made. It was really enjoyable listening and he's very happy for being the first time that he can tune in to Voice of Indonesia. Hello, Mr. Freddy. Thank you for your reception report on our broadcast. You said that SINPO was 53343, arriving with an excellent signal, but with lots of interference and noise that at times made it very difficult to follow up on the commands. To overcome the problems, I suggest you use RRI PlayGo application. Just download it on your smartphone, type RRI PlayGo, then once you download it, just select logo VOI. You can watch our live streaming, and if you miss it, you can watch the review below. So you can listen to Voice of Indonesia without interference or noise. Well, as our appreciation, we'll play a beautiful song special for you. Enjoy! You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz and website voinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we'll present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
My Indonesian Wonder today is on Damar Kurung Festival from Gresik, East Java. In the past, Gresik Regency, which is located in East Java province, has a port with a large trade center, so that many foreign traders, including those from China, came to Gresik. This is where the beginning of the emergence of Chinese culture in Gresik, one of which is the lantern. Damar Kurung lantern tradition is a form of acculturation of Gresik culture originating from Chinese culture. Every year, Gresik has an annual agenda that usually invites a lot of attention, namely the Damar Kurung Festival. This festival is specifically held in the second week of the month of Ramadan to preserve traditions handed down in Gresik, which are more than 5 centuries old. Damar Kurung is often used as a toy by children when entering the fasting month of Ramadan. The name originated from the word damar, which means oil lamp, while kurung means bracket or confinement, similar to a birdcage. Damar kurung is actually a cube-shaped lantern that is hung mostly at the porch. At the first glance, the shape is similar to a birdcage. The cube is covered with paper painted in various motifs, but usually the pictures of animals, plants, objects that are used daily and also buildings. Damar Kurung's paintings must also relate to the daily activities of the Gresik people. The tradition carried out by the Gresik people, for example, the celebration of Idul Fitri or the religious meaning that appears on each side of the painting, like the special night of Lailatul Qadar and others. However, there are some standards that must be maintained. These standards include that the shape drawn must be realized in 2 dimensions. In addition, the colors used to fill empty spaces must be bright, such as red, blue, green, or purple. While on the inside of the damar kurung, a yellow light is given so that when it is turned on, it will look more attractive. Damar kurung is unique in its pattern of drawing. The human form, which is similar to the depiction of wayang characters, but looks from the side. In addition, another uniqueness of the work of art is that the story presented always starts from the right and moves to the left, just similar to reading the Arabic script. The faces in the painting must also look cheerful. For human characters, it must be accompanied by outdoor activities, and there are the addition of natural elements such as trees and animals. Damar Kurung has now also experienced a development in its function, which was originally only for decoration in homes. Now it has become a decoration for government agencies and parks. It has even become the mascot of the city of Gresik and has also become a souvenir from Gresik. That was Indonesian Wonder today.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
From Listener, before we end our segment Listener's Mailbag, I announce that Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is in the form of essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations, namely Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay with a length of 700 to 800 words, Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10 to August 20, 2023. For those selected as the winners, one participant for each language service will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia, September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Get prepared, who knows, you become one of the winners.
Hari ini, esok, lusa, dan selamanya hanya ada kau di hati. Kau buatku serasa hidup dalam mimpi. Meski terjaga, tak ada setitik ragu. Hadir mengajakku pindah ke lain hati. Bersamamu hingga bumi tak bermentari. Padamu ku berjanji. Oh, semerbak kasih kita mewangi selamanya. Harum abadi lestari asmara. Lestari asmara.
That was the third song of the day from Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we present you Miscellany.
The 10 November Institute of Technology or ITS has made another achievement on the international stage in the field of robotics. This time, through the ITS Bayu Caraka Flying Robot Team, which successfully won 3 prizes at the same time in the 2023 Singapore Amazing Flying Machine Competition in Singapore. The main pilot of the ITS Bayu Caraka, Martin Aditya, explained that the competition is the biggest flying machines competition in Singapore. It was organized by the Defense Science Organization, DSO, National Laboratories, and Science Centers in collaboration with the Singapore Ministry of Defense. This competition is divided into 8 categories. The ITS Bayu Caraka team itself takes part in the semi-autonomous or D1 and autonomous D2 categories. In this competition, Bayu Caraka ITS ascend a 3 vertical takeoff and landing or VTOL division teams named Suromiber Team A, Suromiber Team B, and Suromiber. Through these 3 teams, Bayu Caraka worked together to conquer this competition and finally won 3 titles at once. The team won 1st place in the autonomous category, or D3, as well as 2nd and 5th place winner in the semi-autonomous category, or D1. Breaking through innovation in the robots being contested is the key to winning this competition. For the semi-autonomous or D1 category, the ITS Bayu Caraka team created a control tool in the form of a wearable device called Exokinesis. The tool is designed to use angle sensors and buttons to move 2 drones at once. In the autonomous category or D2, the team also presents new innovations. This is done by adding innovation to the mission algorithm so that drones can complete missions quickly and precisely. Well, that was Miscellany today.
Bahagia di dalam dirimu.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOA listener, today's edition of Music Corner presents a song from an Indonesian male singer, Alvin Joe. Alvin Jonathan Sindunata, or known as Alvin Joe, is a new male singer from Malang, East Java, Indonesia. He has started being popular since he won a talent show X Factor Indonesia Season 3. His career as a professional singer began with a single, Iman Tak Sama, in 2022. In 2023, he is back with his latest work, which is a song by one of Indonesia's legendary singers, Krisye, entitled Kala Cinta Menggoda. The song composed by Guru Soekarno Putra tells the story of someone who loves a woman that already has a boyfriend. In the process of making this song, Alvin Joe was assisted by Ronald Steven as music producer and arranger, and Kam Gamo as vocal director. Well, listener, here is Alvin Joe's version of Kala Cinta Menggoda on Music Corner from Voice of Indonesia. Enjoy.
Pertama ku langsung jatuh cinta, walau ku tahu kau ada pemiliknya, tapi ku tak dapat membohongi hatimu rani. Ku tak dapat menghindari gejolak cinta ini, maka izinkanlah aku mencintaimu, atau bolehkanlah ku sekedar sayang padamu. Maka maaf jika aku mencintaimu, atau biarkan ku mengharap kau sayang padaku. Memang serba salah rasanya tusuk panah cinta, apalagi ku juga ada pemiliknya. Dapat membohongi hati nurani, ku tak dapat menghindari gejolak cinta ini. Maka izinkanlah aku mencintaimu, atau bolehkanlah ku sekedar sayang padamu. Maka maafkan jika ku mencintaimu, atau biarkan ku mengharap kau sayang.
Of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
listener, thank you so much for listening to our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequency 3325 and 475 kHz, website voinews.id and RRI Play Your mobile app. Please give your suggestion and criticism through our email voi@voinews.id or send a direct message, mention us on social media, Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter @VOIIndonesia, Instagram @VOI_official. Yes, it's VOI_official. Find us on TikTok as well, VOI_official, and YouTube channel, VOI_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Thank you so much for listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.